Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, and welcome to Straight Talk, episode number 27, along with my co-host Han Tran. How are you, Han?
Marvelous, Jim. Yourself?
Not too bad. As we were talking before the show started, we've been doing this for, would you say, almost a or over a half a year now?
Yeah, half a year. Yes, half a year of just absolutely fun time.
Yeah, exactly. Is there really that many things that need to be discussed or can be discussed when it comes to the world of dental design? And I guess the answer to that question is there sure are. And and the topics keep growing. I know we keep making a list of possible items of what we want to speak about, and it just continues to grow and grow. But tonight's show is going to be an interesting one. It's we don't want it to come off as an infomercial about HJT, but we've been asked this question so many times, and we want to discuss it, and it really has to do with tonight's topic is, I already have an architect. Now what? Can HJT design help us? And how do you integrate into it? And the answer is absolutely. Yes, we can. We do it all the time. We've got multiple varieties of ways that we can integrate into the team and provide our expertise. There are just a variety of potentials, and tonight we're going to discuss those. And obviously, if you have a question, since this is a live show and you'd like to ask that, please feel free. Call us at our 657-383-1442 number, and we'll see what we can do about answering that question. But the typical service that is what we provide, obviously, if you don't use us, you would be using somebody else, and they should have some kind of similar typical service. But our typical service is broken into two parts. The first part is the base, the starting point, and we call that the schematic design. And basically, it's a floor plan. That floor plan is especially tuned to dealing with the uniqueness of dental project and facility. We also look at and integrate all aspects of the building codes, the handicapped accessibility code, and as well as if you're looking at something that maybe is a renovation, we'll also integrate the constructability aspect, meaning can it actually be created, or, you know, we're talking about things like beams, columns, existing walls, that kind of stuff. So that schematic design plan is what we would provide. That then also has enough information that it allows you to get your builder or a builder that you're talking with to provide a preliminary construction cost so that you can verify your budget. That's an extremely important point. I think we've talked about that in a few of the other episodes. Go back to, I believe, the one we had with Live Oak Bank, and how it's very important to have this budget established so you can determine whether you're able to move forward with the project or not. But this schematic design floor plan is something that's a thorough document. It's not something that is just what you would put on a floor plan, or excuse me, on a napkin. Wouldn't you say, Han? I mean, this is your expertise.
Yeah, this is what the level of information and accuracy that you will receive when the preliminary design is completed. You can hand it to your contractor or, you know, your local architect, and they can literally run with it. There isn't any disclaimer because it's done according to the state and the local code in terms of, you know, building codes and egress and ingress and, you know, accessibility codes and stuff like that. So it's not, I think the word preliminary is a little bit misinformation, because it's not really preliminary. It will work.
Yeah, it's step buildable. Above preliminary, way beyond preliminary.
Yeah. Yeah. So to answer your question, Jim.
Yeah, very, very thorough document that is there for one reason. It's to create the foundation of what you're trying to accomplish. So with your team, however you want to structure what that team looks like. Now, we've also expanded that part of the work to include site plan work and design when you're dealing with a new build or a existing facility that you own and you want to add on to, that kind of stuff. So we will also integrate and look at the site itself as well as the building and the building interior. So all three of those areas are simultaneously integrated together as the design is brought together. So again, as Han was saying, a very thorough document that can be handed off and worked from. Now, the next step is the second part of our full service work. Our typical service work is what's called full service architectural. Now, this involves the what's called the design development, where we've taken this initial design work and we're going to further develop it. We create the necessary documents that allow the team, specifically the builder or the construction manager that you have on your project, to be able to get an even more refined understanding as to what entails. At the end of design development, all questions should be answered. And when I say all questions, that is what kind of floors, what kind of walls, what's going on the ceiling, what is the ceiling, where are the lights, where are the chairs, where are the equipment, where are the pieces and parts that will make up this project, where does it sit on the property, how, if it's a new build or a renovation, where's the addition going to go? All those things have to be accomplished and answered at the end of design development, so that we can transition into the construction documents, which is the next part of this second step. And construction documents, I believe we've had a review back in one of our previous podcasts about that as well. But the construction documents are the things, the plans, used to be called the blueprints, that the builder looks at and builds from, and the building department reviews and gives you a permit around. Okay. Then you go through what's called bidding and negotiation. That's where we help you work with your builder and get your actual bids. Then once somebody has been selected, then the construction administration, which includes all kinds of fun things, including shop drawings, review of applications for payment, observation of the project to make sure the design intent is being held through, and then all the way through to what's called getting your final occupancy certificate from the building department so that you can move into the project. And during this time, we also integrate our mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and structural engineers. They're consultants to us, and they get integrated in this second step. They're not part of the first step, but they are integrated into the process for the second step. So in about a 5-minute discussion, that's the overall process of a typical services where we do it all. Now, we've had so many folks that have called and said, "Hey guys, I've got a local architect. He's somebody that works, he's one of our patients, and he said he wanted to help us to do the project. We're going to do a new build, or we're going to do a renovation. Can you help?" And the answer is yes, and this is how we would do it. We've got about four different ways that we'll be able to integrate with. But the very first thing that has to be created is the schematic design floor plan that we talked about in our first step. Now, we can do that from scratch. And Han, do you want to describe what that means from scratch with our questionnaire?
Yes. If you haven't engaged or haven't worked with anyone prior to bringing the architect like ourselves on, we are starting with a blank sheet of paper. We have a questionnaire, what we call the design programming. Where it's about 6-7 pages of questions of everything and anything that you're thinking about, including equipment and all that good stuff. So that way it helps us to identify your need, your want, your like, and so on. That is a document that we bases the design around, okay? So from the scratch, means simply we start with just what your wish list, the programming, and now that it's certainly give a lot of freedom to do pretty much anything you want and everything you want, but all of that should be done to somewhat control and manage. Otherwise, you can do too much and take too long. Because often we try to control the amount of information, because it's really in this journey of building a new practice, you as a person that have never been or have not been exposed to the design world or the construction world can get information overload really, really fast. And they become way too stressful, way just too much to digest. You're not expected to be the expert, so we minimize the amount of choices and information for that very purpose. Is that we don't want you want to be focused and not overload and have too many choices, because choices just mean you can sit and spin your wheels, and if you have 9 months or a year to do a building, you can eat that up really, really quickly. And then you'll find yourself in trouble in any other area of your business. So starting from scratch is really fun because you can do so much. But of course, there's many other ways to do things, do the design as well. Hey, Jim? Jim?
Yeah, Han. How does our listener who wants to take to the next level get their hands on the dental facility programming questionnaire?
Every organization or design organization have a list of questions in some way, but for us, they just reach out to us and say, "I'd like to engage I'd like to discuss about having you provide us with design services." We just simply either email it to you, or you can go onto our website and request for it and download it for yourself.
Cool.
And then you take
Yeah. I'm looking at one that we just received here recently, and obviously, as Hans said, there are 6 pages to this document, and not every line will be filled out, and this is the exact case. Not every line is known, so some of the questions are something that this particular doctor didn't know at this time, so you leave them blank. So, like here, here's a question that comes off the thing. What type of facility are you working with? And it says, you know, new freestanding building or renovation of existing space. Well, this particular doc does not know what they want to do yet. And so both of those are left blank. So, you know, you can fill it out to your best knowledge. It's a living document in the sense that it'll continue to grow and change as you begin and work through the process with us so that, you know, we can get a better understanding. And I think, Han, you said it, the needs, wants, and desires. What do you need to have? What would you like to have? What would your ultimate desire to be? So that we can plan for all aspects from the beginning to the end. But, you know, that's our basic design service, which provides you with a floor plan that then can be given, that can be used as we move through these next steps. Now, there's another option that is kind of a modification of this, and that is where you as the doctor have already got a floor plan created. And that could have been, that could have come from an equipment supplier. It could have come from, well, maybe something you created on a napkin or on one of those self-draw kind of softwares that you can download for free. And you've come up with this floor plan that you would like us to be able to start with and integrate our expertise as to how things should and shouldn't work. Now, Han, as part of this, I kind of like to describe that, you know, you as one of the moderators on Dental Town have looked at and reviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of floor plans that are posted on there. Can you describe a little bit about what you see?
I see everything. Okay, the things that the source. Where you may start, like Jim say, you know, you may sit down with the, you know, with your wife or partner and say you want to start, you know, you're going to start a new practice, and you get out a napkin, we call it a napkin plan. You just draw a few boxes and stuff like that to get some idea what it is you need. Then you give it to your design team, and they can start from there. If they're really, really, you know, knowledgeable, they can make heads or tail of it. We have worked on, you know, from scratch with nothing. We have worked from napkin plan. Sometimes we get drawing from, like Jim say, you know, from your supply houses. We get it from other architects. We got it from vendors. Interior designer and so on. So it don't matter where it come from. We take that and we do forensic analysis of it, tear it apart, you know, rearrange things, make the recommendations and find out what work, what don't work. And we might end up with starting all over, and we have. But you know, the whole exercise is you as the owner, the business owner, should get involved somehow, get a little lead on your finger, maybe a little, you know, black ink on, you know, dirty with black ink and try to draw out, try to get some idea on paper. So you have some direction of what it is that you possibly want before you go to, you know, to the design team. I can honestly tell you, both Jim and I individually have over 30 years professional experience. There's one thing each. That both you and I are stuck at. Yeah, each, individually. Okay, both of us individually had one thing that we sucked at: mind reading. Okay, we don't do that very well. Okay, we don't do that well, and we don't get paid very well for that neither. It's the worst thing that a client have ever said to us is, "You know what I want." No, I honestly I don't. It's like you have a patient sitting
but
in
the
chair.
When we're done with the process, I will know what you want.
That's right. That's right. And like the patient come in a chair, they don't say a word, but they expect you to make them look prettier, you know, whiter teeth and straighter teeth, and fix their oral mess, but they don't tell you nothing. That doesn't work very well for you, and it wouldn't work very well for us. But the things that we often see that I often look at and critique. I'm trying to be very nice. I'm trying to be very diplomatic, even when I simply say, "This is crap. Start over." And I guess in the last couple of days, I basically say that, except a little bit more diplomatic. So we see a lot. The biggest thing is preconceived notions and ideas should be somewhat flexible. You don't want to come to the table with something that is so adamant that you must have, but you only have a 1,500 square foot space, and you want to have 10 operatories and all of the amenities that a facility of 4,000 square feet have. You can't. All right. I don't like to burst anybody's bubble, but you can't fit things too much into a tight space without flexibility. Often we would tell you, find something else or reduce your program, okay, or even reduce your budget. If you want to build a Taj Mahal on a dark house budget, it's not going to happen, okay? So we see a lot. So, Jim, so I don't ramble on with all this stuff, okay? But
yeah, no, we could go on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go on forever, but bottom line is that, you know, we can take that preliminary plan, that initial thought, whatever that would be, and integrate our expertise into that, along with integrated into the process, so that obviously, if you have something that you've started with, please share it with us, and we will definitely see what we can do to help. Now, the next way that we can work with your team is that we can work with a local architect. Let's say you've decided that, nope, I'm just going to have HJT design, do the schematic design, integrate their expertise only on the front end, and create this floor plan that is something that I want to hand off to a local architect, meaning this could be a architect that's one of your clients, somebody that you've used before, someone that for whatever reason is integrated into the project. Maybe they're their architect that did the building that you're going into, and you think there's going to be some benefit to that. So we can integrate with them in a couple ways. We can integrate in the sense that we can provide them this schematic design floor plan, and they take it from there. So we're done with the first part. We hand it off. We give them the direction and understanding that we've gathered up to this point, and they run with it. And then they complete their process to get you to the point of being able to, you know, bid the project, start construction, and eventually move in. Or we can provide that schematic floor plan. This is the second option of this, and integrate with that local architect as a review consultant, in that for a minimal amount, we are there to be a second set of eyes as the process is moving forward. So let's say that local architect is doing the design development, and you know, we're there looking over the work periodically to give input as to, no, this is a better product to use here, and here's the reason why. We can add that extra level of expertise to the project as it's moving forward and give you, as we feel, a better result. Now, obviously, that local architect would be doing the majority of the full-service architectural work along with the MEP, mechanical, electric, plumbing, and structural, but we're there to help them along. Now, one area that we really recommend this in is that, let's say you have an architect that is local. They might be a client, but they've never done a dental office before, or they have minimal experience doing dental offices. We feel very strongly that just like anything, let's say you're having open heart surgery. Do you want somebody that's done it 1,000 times or somebody that's done it 10,000 times? I opt for the 10,000 time. Pretty serious stuff. Well, this is serious stuff too. So do you want to have the experienced individual looking over the shoulder of that local architect? And our answer would be, yes, you do. And so that's why we can help provide that service. We're there looking over their shoulder, helping them through this process so that they don't stub their toe and effectively hurt you and the project. And not by purpose, it's just by accident. But there's so many things and so much that has to be integrated and coordinated, and the level of knowledge that you don't want to just ask this of a inexperienced architectural firm that's never done dental offices. Now, they could be very experienced in so many other projects, and Han and I will tell you, you know, we have very little or no experience in nuclear power plants. And so if you're going to do a nuclear power plant, you better hire someone who has done a nuclear power plant before, maybe a bunch of them. But we
you can hire us and we get the specialists.
And we'll get a specialist who knows how to do it, and we'll integrate with them.
That's right.
But, yeah, but when it comes to dental offices, we have that pile of experience and bring that to your table as we're creating the project and solving all the solutions. Now, in that kind of scenario, you might say, well, doesn't that cost me a whole lot extra? Because I'm paying for the local architect, and then I'm paying for you guys to do your review work looking over their shoulder. Well, the answer is yes, it does. So you have to kind of weigh that against, well, maybe I should have just hired you guys in the first place to do it all. Well, you know, that might be the case, and there might be the case that sometimes that's just not practical. Let's say you're in a very restrictive area, and I'm gonna use an example for maybe like New York or Southern California. There are some unique aspects of those two regions that require the hands-on of local architects, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we feel very comfortable doing that in those kind of environments, and it will give you the best solution. And so, in essence, it's money well spent. Wouldn't you think so, Han?
I think you have to look in terms of investment rather than cost. Okay,
yeah.
It's let me interject this. The Jim is right. The question is often asked is, I already have an architect. Why do I need to hire another architect to work on the same project? It's your patient that come into your office, say, I have you as my dentist. Why do I need to also go to another dentist to do the same thing that you do? And your answer, hopefully, is that I'm a dentist who specializes. I provide general dentistry with restorative this or that. I do implants. but I don't do extraction or I don't do, you know, surgeries and so on and so on. So other specialists do those things. We are a architectural practice that designs dentist offices, but we are at the same time are specialists to other architects who have never had the experience or have little experience to deal with dental offices. So we wear both hats. I'm going to plug a little bit for us. Okay, so it will sound like an infomercial. We have very seasoned, very established architecture firm that pursue and or had opted to do large dental practices, and they don't have any dental experience. And part of the requirement is that they bring on a dental consultant that could help them to go through the process. And they reach out to us because we understand building. We talk the lingo with them about everything else that's not dental, and at the same time, we speak dental. So we are a huge asset, not just simply a dental asset. Okay, if a project, and this is a true story, the project was from the ground up. A site with an existing building that need to be demolished. It sits at a very unique intersection or curve where potential traffic coming and exiting could be a hazard, and so all that need to be worked out. We don't just simply focus on the dental aspect as a member of the team, as a specialist of the team. The entire project, the site, the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, dental, and building and code and all that is our patient. We look at everything so that we can lead the team to have the best outcome possible as a specialist. So we become very integrated, and when the whole project, when the design is pulled together and they are comfortable taking and run with it, we let them. I mean, that basically they took over. But Jim say that we look over the shoulder. No, actually, I think it's a little harsh. We hold their hands, okay?
We hold their hands and look over the shoulder. And we do that through the filter. Yeah, we do that through the filter of the dental design expertise. I'm going to give an example. Now, and Han talked about, you know, we look at all aspects, including the site. Let's say we're looking at parking count. Now, your particular location may be in an area where zoning says your parking requirement is one parking space per 100 square feet. So if you have a 2,000 square foot building, you take 100 into the 2,000, you get 20 parking spaces. So 20 parking spaces is what's required by code in your local area. Now, is 20 parking spaces the right amount from the dental filter, the dental design filter? And the answer is no. Because, Han, in 2,000 square feet, how many operatories are you going to get in there?
Typically about six, possibly
right.
Seven. But
yeah, so
yeah,
let's just use
six.
Yeah, let's use six. So let's say you have six operatories. So from a practical standpoint, what I'm getting at is how do we get to the required parking that you need? So you've got six parking spaces because you have each chair filled with one person. Okay. Now, you're going to have staff. Well, first of all, let's back up. You've got six clients that are in chairs. If you're doing your job right, you have six people that are coming in sometime before that person leaves the chair that they're in right now. So that's another six. So we're up to 12. Now, how many staff are you going to have? Well, Han, what's the staff number? What do you think on the
waste? Well, you will have six that service in the six in the treatment room. You may
correct.
Have three to you may have three at the front desk. Okay, you are at
correct.
18 already, right? The three at the front desk, that's 21. The doctor, maybe an associate. You may have one or two assistants that are runners. So you already surpassed the 20 parking space requirement. Now parking,
I get 26.
Yeah, parking is usually so
I get 26.
You exceeded it. Okay.
Add on top of that the human factor that if your parking space is over 80% full, you've already created a negative impression in your first time person coming to your building. Because when human nature says I'm driving up to a parking lot and 80% of the parking spaces are full and I have a hard time finding a parking space, we've all done it. We've all going into a place that is just so underparked that it's like, crap. I don't have a place to park. I don't, I'm driving around and around and around to wait until somebody gets out of this place so I can find a spot to park. It's just a negative. It's a turnoff. So, and effectively, you need to add another at least eight, I would say, a minimum, maybe 16. But let's say you added, let's say just round numbers, you add 10. So that's 36 parking spaces that you need to have. So that's a prime example of us looking at the project from a dental design filter, where local code would say 20 parking spaces is fine. But in reality, you better have 36. Because if you don't, you're shortchanging yourself and you're already restricting your potential growth and your potential success because of the uniquenesses of a dental facility. And that's just a very simple but quick example of so many things that we look at and we review when it comes to dealing with the design of a dental facility and how best to accomplish that.
Now, Jim, things I often see is that naturally the whole process is done by teamwork. You have a team of experts, and that's going to work together to create the new practice for you. The work that they do should never be done on island by themselves. Okay, what I mean by that is I've seen this. It's part two to the critique. I have to ask the questions of how they arrive with the with the drawings that they have to present for critique. It's a raw piece of land. The building is designed by a supply house, and they never look at how it should be orientated on the site. So what you have is you may have a building that executed well with the number of operators you have and so on. And now you try to fit it onto a site, but that was never designed to be on that site. You may have to flip the building, rotate it, mirror it, and whatever to make it work, if at all. Because if you don't look at all the pieces and how they fit together, how they work together, their inner relationship and things like that, that old saying that you're forcing a square peg into a round hole, and that's exactly what it is. Okay, before it's built, everything can be resolved economically, but you should always start with the right foot forward, and not taking two steps back every time you take one step forward. And so. That's what I often see, that things are done independent of other team members, and then worse yet, it's done without the involvement of the architects, and then they say, well, you know, the architect's job is to oversee the design and make all the correction. I think I say this in the last couple of episodes that the one of the things that we are not trained to do, but we do it rather well, is to be the design janitor. That is the worst place to learn that the design that was done that you felt comfortable enough to buy the building or to sign the lease, and then discover that it didn't work. Okay, because it was not put, you left out the member of the team that has the insight that's necessary to look at everything else involved in the project besides the dental part. Jim?
Yes, without a doubt. Well, let's jump on to the next hybrid or the next area. Let's say you have a general contractor that you have had a relationship with, you like them, you've worked with them before, maybe they've done the previous project with you or whatever, and you said, I'm going to use this general contractor. Well, the general contractor says, just give me the schematic design floor plan and I'll take it from there. Okay, we can do that. We can provide that. We can do that work up front. We can also work with them in the next phase, and these two are kind of lumped together. And let's say that you have a builder, and this could even, and we have this, have had this and are having this as we speak, the builder is the landlord, and the landlord is the builder. They're one and the same, and they're going to be the entity that constructs your new space, and they're lumping it all together. And there's some advantages to it, as they have told you and showed you, that you basically get one lease payment and it covers everything, including your tenant improvements. Well, we kind of like to call that the design build process, and it could be either a landlord scenario or be a new build. But we can work with that builder's architect. In either way, either of the two options we talked about before, we can provide just a schematic floor plan and let them take it from there, or better yet, provide the schematic floor plan and integrate our services with them as we look over their shoulder and hold their hand, because nobody has the expertise that we have. And how better to utilize us as your team is to integrate us into this and to be able to help you create a better solution, as well as we've had so many stories where an inexperienced team, whether it's a builder or whether it's the architect or whomever within the team, didn't know that particular aspect or didn't know that particular thing. And it eventually had to be changed out, or it had to be rectified. Once it's built, or once construction has started, those are very, very expensive alterations. Once you've started the process of constructing, you in a heartbeat could spend tens of thousands of dollars that you did not want to spend because something was not determined correctly, identified, selected, whatever the aspect is. Please do not, as we call it, fly by the seat of your pants, or let someone talk you into letting them fly by the seat of their pants and try to work their way through this process of doing a dental facility. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Dental facilities are complicated. One of the most complicated facility that's out there. They're nothing like a retail center. We've had projects, haven't we, Han, where a builder is used to doing retail centers and now doing one of our dental facilities, and poor guy is just, he's struggling. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And it's costing in numerous ways. It's slowing the process down. It's costing the owner because it's taking them longer to get it built. And just like any business, if your operatories are not there making you money, you're never going to get that money back. So if it's a 2 month or a 3 month delay, that's 2 or 3 months of revenue that never comes back. Excuse me. So it's like it's costing you. So in a very quick moment in time, we all know that you better be doing somewhere in the $25,000 to $35,000 a month range for each operatory. And you lose a two-month process, that's a very substantial chunk of money. More than enough to pay our additional fee, as one would look at it, as some people might call it, to be able to look over and hold the hands of the local people that you might want to have work on this thing so that you can minimize that reduction in cost, or excuse me, that delay in construction or something that sets you back. So I guess we want to very strongly advocate that there are so many ways that we can integrate into this system of your project. And how do we say it, Han? We're here to help, right?
That's right. I mean, listen, if you have a team that are not well versed in the design or the building of a dental office, you can always look, well, you know, it saves me money if I use a local guy because he's a good friend or whatever. The learning curve for him will cost you. It'll cost you dearly. I just look at it and say, you know, you either invest or you pay. Either or, it's going to cost you. So if you look at whether it's an architect or a contractor, if they don't have the experience that's necessary, if they do not have not just the experience but the foresight, the ability to solve problems, to look at things and logically solve problems so that the project can proceed, then you're going to be the one who's going to pay for all that downtime. And we have, there's on downtown, I see there's a number of times that I see complicated layout or space that the designer is trying to fit things in. And I have to give him credit because not everybody can see things the same way. Not everybody will come out with the same solution. But those who are gifted, who have the ability to dissect and re-engineer or reverse engineer, a space or a problem, they can come up with solutions that nobody else has seen. Okay? Not patting ourselves on the back, but we have that kind of ability. Okay? It's what we do. Right. So if you have right now on Downtown, there is an active discussion where an architect, a seasoned architect, who supposedly have medical facility experience, which is basically like saying I have commercial design experience, because a family doctor's office has nothing that are special, that are extraordinary compared to, I say, a realtor's office or an engineer's office. They don't have. A lot of high-tech equipment and stuff like that. So, or a veterinarian's office, and we've done those. There's a little bit more, they're more like medical offices, but they're for four-legged creatures. They don't have the high tech stuff unless it is a surgical facility, and that's a little bit more specialty. But a dentist's office has a lot of toys, a lot of high tech stuff, and not just so much the equipment or the technologies, but there's a certain way that traffic need to be managed. We refer to it as flow. There's a slew of other issues that associate with dental offices that require special attention or special detailing to make sure all that's addressed. You got noise, you got sight, you got lighting, you got heat, cooling. You have a lot of things that are not typically associated with commercial office buildings. It needs a specialist. And the sooner you get that specialist on board, the sooner you can cure the patient.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is movement. The movement of the staff, the movement of the dentist, and the movement of the patients, and how they all flow together to be able to work efficiently. Because the name of the game is efficiency. The more efficient
production.
You are, the more efficient you are, you better, the higher your production is, the more that you're able to make, the less that you're going to have to work, the easier it is on the staff. I mean, it's just a win, 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 as opposed to you don't want it to be a fight, 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 where you're always fighting this issue or fighting that issue, or, oh, crap, have I got to, I'm going from one end of this long building to the other end of this long building because I'm down here working on treatments and I got to run down there and do a hygiene check. And all of a sudden, the old Fitbit saying you've got 20,000 steps today. Well, that might be great for your health, but it's terrible for your bottom line. And so obviously what we're talking about is for the minimal investment of integrating us into your process, no matter who you're currently working with and how you're working with, is something we would highly recommend and be very, very comfortable helping you out to help you succeed. Because really that's what our goal is. Our goal is to be able to be in a position to set you up to succeed. Now, there's one other aspect of services that we provide that also can be provided by others, but we want to talk a little bit about that, and that's the interior design. Now, we have a system where we have what's called the bare minimum interior design service, which effectively, I'm going to let Han describe what it is and how it can help you to at least get from point A to point B. But just in a nutshell, interior design is the actual selection of things, materials, colors, pieces and parts, furniture, artwork, decoration, could go all the way through of it up until a theme and what you want to create. Now, that stuff falls outside the realm of normal architectural services, but at the same time, we've come up with a unique way that we feel that we're able to integrate some of this stuff in the process. So, Han, you want to describe a little bit about this interior design service that we're able to provide?
Absolutely. Okay, we are not talking about the weekend warrior thing. We're not talking about the HGTV behind the scene where a project is done in 45 minutes and you got it from the ground up to a move-in situation. Okay, so kind of erase that out of your mind. Some of the dentists are old enough to remember an American architect named by the name of Frank Lloyd Wright, who do a project, and he designed everything in the building, including the furniture, the rug at your front door, the glass on your desk or on your table, and the silverware. That's not you. You're not gonna hire an architect and or interior design to do that. Those days are gone. When we think of interior design for a for an office, whether it's a dental or a lawyer or whatever the case is, the simplest thing is you pick out the carpet, the type of carpet, the color, the pattern, and so on, whether it's broadloom and or tile type. The wall, which wall gets what color, what texture. You have, if you have ceiling, do you like it to be gypsum and painted, or you need to something a little bit more dressed up, more decorated and more noise, absorbent and so on. Those are the simple tasks. Those are the usually the minimal that architects of services can include into their their package. That their architects, whether it's a man or woman, are trained beyond the ability to do all that. They can do everything from the inside to the outside of your building. In the last 30, 40 years or so, there's a niche that cut out, and we call them interior designer. And they are trained different. They look at things different. They may go in and help you with picking out the same thing. The carpet, broadloom or tile, the color, tile floor, luxury vinyl tile, paint the wall, the color, the texture, maybe put on a chair rail, and so on and so on. They might even help pick out furniture, buy this chair, buy that chair, and things like that. So they, for their time, they charge you a fee, and they get commission for the things they specify. I myself have a little conflict with that, is that if somebody specifies something and they get a kickback for what they're specifying, that's double dipping besides the fees that they charge you. That somehow doesn't work very well for me. The simplest thing is you can buy your own furniture, or you can call the local furniture store and they'll work with you to get you the furniture. You can buy from numerous of different sources and so on. So if you want to pay somebody to help you with that, you can do that on an individual basis, or you can have interior design to do that. It's not a unique skill, okay? But in the simplest thing is in your project, the color, material, where things need to go and stuff like that is things that your architects should be very, very capable of, and we certainly falls into that category. Not just so much where things should be, shouldn't be, what need to be used and where and how long it lasts and things like that. There's a lot of things that come into play that deals with interior design that are beyond just how pretty it looks. Okay. There's that phrase that I often say, KISS, keep it simple, sweetheart. All right, you don't have to make it too complicated. You try to do things that are reasonable. Well, some of the debate or some of the discussion I have is, a question would be like, what would be the best flooring to put down in a dentist's office? Well, if it's your forever office, fine, then that, you want it to last you forever with the minimal wear and tear and maintenance and all that stuff. So you invest into something a little bit more upgraded or better quality. But if you go into a retail store or a retail slot, or you're going to lease a space for 5 or 10 years, why would you go and buy the same thing that costs you $40 per square foot to put down and leave $35 of it on the floor when you leave at the end of your lease? That doesn't make sense. So those are the things that associate not just into design, but it's associated with the investment in the things that makes your office look pretty, presentable, the wow factor that everybody is looking for and wanted. An architect, when they design the space, they can create features that highlight the things in your space that brings out the wow without you having to interject another services of somebody who's not familiar with the building, or the system or the trade and your discipline, the and your specialty at dentistry, and they interject things that may not be appropriate, and we run into that too often. If you're going to have a third source of interior design services brought on, you know, into the team, it depends on what you want from that individual. You should introduce them to into the project on the beginning, on the inception, so that way their needs, their wants, and stuff like that can be integrated with the team, so that those that with the technical know-how can help them to execute it. If you introduce that same individual with that same motivation of making, of doing things that are beyond their capability, and they need the technical individual, like the architect, to solve those problems at the tail end of the design phase, you are asking for a disaster, and we've seen and lived that too often because we don't have control of it. It's introduced by the client, and so it creates a lot of issues. The dynamic of your team is changed, and it becomes problematic. So if it's as simple of doing color, materials, features, accents, and all that stuff, your architect is very capable and more. Okay, I think in a nutshell, I think I got that covered, Jim.
Right. Well, obviously, it's back to that dental design filter. You know, we have the ability to make sure that those pieces and parts, those selections, fit within that realm. They work for dentistry, they work for a dental facility, and here's the reason why, as opposed to they just look good, or this is a trendy color, or this is a trendy material, but does it really stand up to the issues of dentistry? You know, and we're talking about things like, what do you make your front reception desk out of, and why? Well, it takes an unbelievable amount of abuse. What do you put on the top surface? One of the most heavily abused surfaces in a dental facility is that front reception desk top surface. Well, it's an important selection because it's one of the very first things that a new client sees when they walk in the door. Now, you want them to see something that's attractive, durable, or you want something that's all beat up, scratched up, destroyed after the first whatever, and you know you have to say, oh crap, this looks like junk, I need to replace it, and I need to replace it again over and over and over again. So that it goes back to that dental design filter to make sure that these pieces and parts are really something that's specific to the dental facility. And Han, your point is very, very, very important. You must integrate that interior design from day one of the process, not from day 55 or day 155, because it will cost you an untold amount of money, and because of delays and potential changes and potential adjustments. It is just a bad way to go. So you either integrate up front with your architect like ourselves, or you integrate a separate interior designer. Please find someone, if you're going to do a separate interior designer, that has dental experience so that they at least understand the language of why you need to do things. Or in this case, you know, hire someone like us that has the ability to be able to lead the whole team and say, yeah, that's a beautiful material, but it won't work because of this. Here are the criteria that you need to work around on this particular case. And then you can succeed and reap the benefits. So, well,
I know that we a little bit.
Go ahead.
I know that we're running a couple minutes over, but let me ask you a question pertaining to specifically interior design. Okay. Is there any situation or any industry that you can think of that where a interior designer can say, I specialize in the design of X type of facility. I know that.
The only one that I would know of that it would be medical.
Yes.
Where an interior designer specializes in the design of medical facility. And don't make the mistake. Medical facilities are different than dental facilities. They're similar, but they're different. And so you got to be real careful. Now, someone who has medical experience is better than somebody who has neither. But don't fool yourself to say, well, you know, I've done a dozen different medical facilities, so I can do your dental facility. No, it doesn't work. It's a different animal. Hon?
Now, I worked for a firm that do healthcare facilities. Okay. That include, you know, senior living or senior facilities, plastic surgeon offices, general practitioner, hospital, children's hospital, and things of that nature. There, every industry has a little bit of their uniqueness and stuff like that. I think it's often the specialist in the interior design world. My humble opinion, it's oversold, okay? Because if you're working yourself at all, and you go into a facility and you have to find out what is it that this facility needs in terms of wear and tear, maintenance, durability, okay? The front desk typically, because the amount of traffic that come through a dentist's office, the front desk need to be more mindful in its design so that it will hold up for years. The other area is your sterilization and your operatory, where it's exposed to various different types of sharp tools and chemical. So everything that are designed, that are selected, should be gear around chemical resistance and damage resistance. The people who select, who are involved in the interior design, should have more ability than simply picking out colors. Okay? We all want pretty facility, but that prettiness have to endure way, way beyond the photo shoot for your, you know, for your website. Okay. So I'm good, Jim.
Cool. Well, hopefully you had an opportunity to at least gain a little bit of information and a little bit more knowledge about the process and how we might be able to help. And if not us, then somebody else that's competent out there that would be able to work through your process. Feel free to holler at Han and I. You can catch us on our website, www.hjtdesign.com, on our 800 number, 866-213-1268. Give us a call anytime, send us an email, download the construction design guide. There's a ton of information on our website, and we look forward to helping you out, if at all possible. If anything, we're here to answer questions. So hopefully this has been informative, and we're planning our next episode for next Tuesday. We haven't established a topic because there's too many to choose from. So Han and I will pick one from a hat, I think, sometime between now and next Tuesday, and that's what we're going to talk about. Right, Han?
That's right. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting.
It will be. For that, I'd like to say thank you. And, Han, you get the last word.
All right. Thank you for spending the last hour with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.